Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C., Radio Row here, the last full day of the George W. Bush presidency. It couldn't come a moment sooner. We are all breathing a huge sigh of relief. In fact, I just very quickly here, this was from the Toronto Star, yesterday's Toronto Star. The rest of the world is beginning to weigh in. This is from their lead editorial, and I quote, "But many Americans, Canadians, and others around the globe have already made up their minds. For them, it's good riddance to George Bush. That's because Bush was an unmitigated disaster, failing on the big issues of his presidency, from the invasion of Iraq to global warming, Hurricane Katrina, and the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression." Well said. So, anyhow, it's the word is out. With us now is Bob Nash. He's the former deputy campaign manager to the Hillary Clinton campaign, former vice chair of Shorn Bank Corporation, served as White House personnel director in the Clinton White House. Prior to that was the undersecretary of agriculture. Later on worked on Bill Clinton's 92 and 96 campaigns, and Arkansan. Am I saying that right, Bob?
Arkansan.
Arkansan. Thank you. And Arkansan. Bob Nash was top aide to Governor Bill Clinton in the 1980s. So you've known this guy and his wife, the family, for a long, long time, Bob.
Yes, I have. I've worked with them and for them for about half my life, which is about 30 years.
Yeah, that's the insider's insider. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, on Bill Clinton's role going forward, the whole thing here.
First of all, let me just say that I am very excited about President-elect Obama taking over. I grew up in the South. I never would have believed in my lifetime that an African-American would be elected president. Maybe in my kids' or grandkids' lifetime, but not in mine. I am very excited about this. I'm also very pleased that he has decided to pick Hillary Clinton as his Secretary of State. She will do a wonderful job, and her husband, she has a great partner who will, obviously she'll call on him from time to time for advice and counsel, as he called on her when he was president. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah. The one thing that disappoints me about Hillary Clinton being the Secretary of State is that I had been running a one-man campaign for months after it was clear that she had lost the primary nomination, for her to take Harry Reid's job. Because I want somebody in the United States Senate who knows how to take names and kick ass, and that is Hillary Clinton. She is strong. She's assertive. She knows how to get things done. I mean, she's got all those characteristics and qualities that we really need in a Senate majority leader. And with Harry Reid, and feel free not to react if you don't want to make a political enemy here. But I've been saying this for a long time. Every time the Republicans say filibuster, they got to run up with smelling salts to keep him from fainting on the floor. And it concerns me. But in any case, that's wherever she is, she's going to do a good job.
Hillary Clinton will do a great job wherever she is. If I was in a war, if I was in court and need to be defended from some charge, anything that's tough, where you need a stand-up, tough person, that person for me would be Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. What's the nature of the relationship, and I don't mean this in a salacious or National Enquirer kind of way, but the relationship between Bill and Hillary Clinton these days, the professional relationship, what kind of role can we expect him to play vis-a-vis her being Secretary of State, or none at all?
Well, I can only guess. Obviously, as a former president, a very successful former president, domestically and internationally, and as the spouse of Hillary Clinton, who ran for president, who's now Secretary of State, I cannot imagine her not asking his advice and counsel. She is the Secretary of State, not him.
Right.
Barack Obama is the president. But smart people who serve in those roles always seek advice and counsel. And I would not be surprised if one or both of them sought his advice and counsel from time to time.
We're talking with Bob Nash, who worked with Bill and Hillary Clinton for over 30 years.
Yes.
Former campaign manager to the Hillary, or deputy campaign manager to the Hillary campaign. I'm sorry, you're going to say something?
Deputy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not Mr. Penn or whatever, whoever it was. Yeah. Former White House personnel director in the Clinton White House. As the personnel director, were you one of the guys who got beat upside the head around the whole travel gate thing? I mean, it seemed like everything that Bill and Hillary Clinton did in the 8 years that they were in the White House, the Republicans tried to figure out some way to drop a piano on their heads.
For the first 2 years of Clinton's administration, I was Undersecretary of Agriculture. Mm-hmm. So I was not in the White House. So I was involved in rural America, Appalachia, the Delta, Indian reservations, and other poor places around the world with things like water, sewer, telephone, electric, business. The last 6 years I ran the personnel office where I helped the president recruit about 11,000 people. So I was not involved during the first 2 years when some of the other stuff went on. But the last 6 years, I'm very proud of our recruitment. Bill Clinton had the most diverse administration in the history of the country. And I would argue by any objective standards, the most successful as it relates to peace and prosperity during that 8 years.
Yeah, well, and I think you're absolutely right. I'm looking for the email here. I appear to have nuked it or stuck it in my junk folder. I was gonna share it with you, but in any case, the essence of it was, and these are already coming out. This is one that one of these giant spam emails that's from Republican sources, but not, you know, officially from the RNC, but you can kind of see their fingerprints all over it of, you know, no, we're not hoping that Barack Obama is successful. If he's successful, it's going to turn America into a socialist nation. It'll be the worst thing that could happen to America. We're tired of socialism. We don't, you know, blah, 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 blah. He hasn't even been sworn in, and the viral emails are already starting. They're you know, blasting them out I'm on a mailing list of talk show hosts. Of course, all the right-wing talk show hosts will be reading from this email today.
Yes.
What was that sense of continuously under siege like in the Clinton White House and during those years that you worked with Bill and Hillary Clinton? And how do you think it might be different with the Obama presidency? And, you know, assuming that the Republicans play true to form, and, you know, there may be a honeymoon here, but, you know, eventually they're gonna come out and drop the boat anchor on these guys. What's the best way to respond?
Well, first of all, I during our years, in some cases, it was like trying to drink water out of a fire hose when you were thirsty. And it was very, very difficult. But at the same time, you had to look forward and be positive and say the glass is half full. And we kept doing that. We kept our eye on the ball in spite of the criticisms. As it relates to Barack Obama, President-elect Barack Obama, he has, you know, 15 million names of people who did something one way or another to help him get elected.
Yep.
I believe that they're going to use those individuals as well as others in this country to help go around opponents, opinion leaders, and decision makers who don't want this country to go forward. If socialism is rebuilding roads and bridges and creating jobs and having health care for people and educating half the people who don't graduate from high school, then I say let's have more of it. But that's not socialism. That's indicative of one of the greatest, strongest country in the history of the world.
Yeah. Well, there's a problem with terminology. You know, Karl Marx defined socialism as the government owning businesses and, you know, the means of production and distribution. But most of the countries of certainly Northern Europe, many European countries, refer to themselves as democratic socialist nations. And what it means is that anything that has to do with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, those three things defined by Jefferson and the founders in the Declaration of Independence, is appropriately the province of government. Health care, public transportation, public roads, national defense, and all those kind of things. And these right-wingers, they go off on these socialist screens, and I say, oh, you hate our socialist military? You don't like our socialist roads? You don't like our socialist police departments? I mean, you know, it's like, it's all, it is bizarre, the use of language.
It really is. We're past the time when you can use simplistic words to describe complex problems in this country. We have to have complex solutions. And it doesn't mean labeling something socialist or communist in some cases. I know they go that far. It is not. Is Barack Obama has excited the people in this country. He's not some sort of messiah or savior, but he is a president of this country, and he's very inspirational. But what has to happen is people in the country have to help him. We all have to do our part.
Yep.
Go out, clean up our community, help our neighbor, get trained, get educated, take care of our health. Those are the kind of things that I think he is inspiring Americans to do. And when that happens, we're going to be a better place to live and work.
Very well said, Bob Nash, and just absolutely spot on. It's not just about him; it's about us.
Yes,
we are a nation, and we have to behave like one. Bob Nash, former deputy campaign manager to the Hillary Clinton campaign, served as the White House personnel director in the Clinton White House. Prior to that, was Undersecretary of Agriculture. Later, worked in Bill's 92 and 96 campaign, an Arkansan.
Yes, sir.
Right. Top aide to Bill Clinton in the 1980s. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Great to have you with us.
Okay.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Yeehaw is not a foreign policy. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
Ed Schultz.
We are the country of pink slips, no doubt. 467,000 more unemployed last week.
Noon to 3.
4.6 million drawing jobless claim benefits right now in America. It's like the Obama team is going to take over in 11 days, shouldering all these problems.
The Ed Schultz Show.
And the Republicans are trying to do a hell of a job of making all of us think that it's our fault.
Noon to 3.
They haven't changed a bit.
AM 620 KPOJ. Online at 620KPOJ.com.
Hey, Carl Wolfson here. One of the perks for KPOJ listeners is getting exclusive deals from our loyal advertisers. Here's one you can't afford to pass up. During January, Floor Trends Northwest is offering free basic installation on any carpet purchase over 50 yards. That's a savings of hundreds of dollars. They're also offering up to 50% off all overstock carpet and hardwood. Now is the time to take advantage of these huge discounts only for KPOJ listeners, only at Floor Trends Northwest in Selwood.
What if I said you could erase your wrinkles, tighten your skin, and make frown lines disappear from view, all without surgery or injections? With all the creams you've tried, you're probably skeptical. So I'm going to prove it to you by sending you a free trial of a scientific breakthrough called Hydroxytone. Shed years from your appearance faster than you ever thought possible.
I looked at her and I was just, wow, she looked so young.
I told her I couldn't believe how smooth her face looks. She's lost, what, 10 years at least?
Request your risk-free trial of this proven breakthrough today. The results are so impressive. Hydroxytone was given away in VIP gift bags at international film festivals.
She always looked good to me, but now I can't believe how young she looks.
Call now for your free trial of Hydroxytone. For a limited time, try it before you buy it. 1-800-933-9722. But hurry. When this offer's gone, it's gone. Call 1-800-933-9722. 1-800-933-9722.
Worried about losing your home? Is your bank threatening to foreclose? Well, there's hope. Operation Hope, America's leading financial literacy and empowerment nonprofit. If you're facing mortgage payment challenges, we just may be able to help. Get free, reliable information and guidance by calling the Operation Hope Mortgage Hotline at 888-388-HOPE. That's 888-388-4673. Look, don't lose your home just because you didn't pick up the phone. Make that call today or visit us at operationhope.org.
This CC's radio announcer has seen what's going on out there and has decided it's time to temporarily put away the funny business and focus on solutions. You see, never has value been more important, and never has CC's been more needed. We offer all the tasty, cheesy pizza, pasta, salad, and dessert you want for only $5 and change. And we offer it every day, which is why we say, if you've got $5 and change, you gotta go to CC's.
Prices may vary. Visit CC's.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red fields of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day,
and welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you live from Washington, D.C. And it's going to be an interesting week. We're doing Radio Row here, and Candy Stroud she's formerly with the DNC and works with Ellen Ratner with the Talk Radio News Service, and has come up with a whole long list of folks to drop by and talk with us. And sometimes they'll show up, sometimes they won't. Sometimes we'll take calls, sometimes we can't. It's going to be an interesting day. And tomorrow, we're working out the details, but we will be carrying the swearing-in and the inaugural address live. And then after that, Ron Reagan and I will be there. We'll be here speaking with you. I may or may not be at the inaugural event where Ellen submitted 10 of the folks who are associated with Radio Row. Ellen runs Talk Radio News Service, Ellen Ratner, and she submitted 10 talk show hosts for Secret Service clearance, all that kind of thing, and 9 of them came back, and I didn't. So we'll find out what the deal is here. Maybe I'll have a pass, an ID by the end of the day, but at the moment, I don't. So it's going to be a very, very interesting few days. Just some of the things in the news here, just to give you an overview of what's going on. First of all, George Bush has already moved out of the White House. They said they don't need any trucks. They're already packed up and moved out. I'd say in the 8 years he was there, there was never really a serious occupant anyway, but I guess that's kind of a cheap shot. Obama's lawyers are talking about prohibiting their staff from using instant messaging in the White House. You just flat out can't IM. Why? Because the Presidential Record Act would require the disclosure of IMs discussing government business, and that would be a mess, basically, a technological mess as well as possibly a legal mess. David Axelrod has confirmed, he was speaking with Georgia Stephanopoulos over the weekend, the 16-month timetable to with ABC this week, the 16-month withdrawal timetable from Iraq. Stephanopoulos asked him straight up if Obama intends to keep his promise, and Axelrod said straight up, yes. The shoe thrower, the fellow who threw his shoes, Mr. El-Zaidi, and at George W. Bush, Muntadhar El-Zaidi, a Swiss lawyer working on behalf of this Iraqi journalist who threw his shoes at U.S. President George W. Bush, said that today that his client will seek political asylum in Switzerland. The Geneva-based lawyer, Mario Poggia, says that Muntadhar El-Zaidi's life is in danger if he stays in Iraq. He's in danger over there, he told the Associated Press in a phone interview. He's also in danger in other Muslim countries because people who support his action could try to make him a martyr. That's a little odd, but I guess in a certain strange way it makes sense. Concern has been raised about his safety after allegations that he had been severely beaten and tortured in detention, and there any harm coming to him beyond that, according to his lawyer, could trigger violent protests in Iraq. And so he says, you know, the best thing to do is get this guy out of the country, send him off to Switzerland. It'd be interesting to see if Barack Obama does anything at all about this guy. Gazans are counting the dead. The Los Angeles Times leads with a dispatch from the Gaza Strip, where Palestinians slowly emerged from hiding yesterday and were shocked at the devastation around them after a 22-day Israeli offensive. The New York Times leads with a look at how the Great Recession, summary of today's papers, how the Great Recession, I am referring to it as the Second Republican Great Depression, because I think that that's actually what it is, has been good for the military. We are seeing coming true the horrible dream, as it were. You know, Thomas Jefferson said, I hope I shall never live to see a day when the young men of my nation are willing to be shot at for a sixpence. And it's here. The military is the fallback job, and now that it looks like we're ramping down our wars, people are less reluctant to go into the military. And, hey, it's a way to get health insurance. It's a way to get a place to live. It's a way to get a paycheck. It's a way to get an education when you get out. So we'll see. We'll see how all this comes out. And, of course, here in Washington, D.C., it was amazing, by the way. This morning I was walking through Union Station, coming over here to Radio Row, and there were all these street vendors selling Obama paraphernalia, you know, buttons and hats and posters and everything. And everybody was like saying, hey, how you doing? Everybody was friendly. It wasn't like the usual kind of hustler hawker talk, you know, but just friendly. And people who weren't even buying things were saying, hey, how you doing? And then as soon as you step out of Union Station, there was a bunch of guys holding pictures of mutilated babies, shouting from a bullhorn that you're all going to go to hell, and the administration's going to go to hell, and Barack Obama's going to go to hell. And it was like, what a night and day contrast. Anyhow, Washington, D.C., Tom here live.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
What would Hartman do? Tom Hartman. Nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ. Portland's only progressive talk station. Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station. AM 620 KPOJ.
We can break the cycle. We can break the chain. We can start all over. In a new beginning, we can learn, we can teach, we can share. The myths, the dreams, the prayers, the notion we can do better. Change our lives and paths. Create a new.
Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. And one day away, 24 hours, just a little bit less, actually.
Just a little bit less.
Yeah, Tom Buffenbarger is with me. He is the president of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers.
Correct.
Sometimes referred to as the International Machinists Union. The website, goiam.org. And Tom, we talked when we were in Denver.
That's correct.
At the Democratic Convention. And a fine conversation it was. I'm curious your take on how labor might fare under the Obama administration. What are the most immediate changes that you think we'll see?
Well, I can speak, I think, for many of us in the trade union movement. We feel a terrible weight has been lifted from our shoulders for the last 8 years under the Bush administration, and now we're optimistic again that we can find those kind of programs and do those kinds of things we need to do to save the middle class of America, sure that people have a chance to earn a decent wage and earn some benefits that can sustain them and their families, and we can find our way to work with the employers again, which is something that's been discouraged by the Bush administration, find a way to solve our problems and maybe take a look at the new way we do business in America and get this economy rolling again for the people that depend on making things in
yeah.
this country.
Let's talk about the political mechanics of it. The Department of Labor was turned by Ronald Reagan from a an agency that by congressional intent was established to represent the interests and defend the interests of working people, of labor, organized labor.
That's correct.
And Ronald Reagan turned it into one that was openly hostile to labor. And you could argue that Bill Clinton backed that up a little bit, but not a whole lot happened during the Clinton administration that was like, I mean, like there was not a concerted campaign to roll back Taft-Hartley, for example.
No, there wasn't. But I have to say, under the Bill Clinton administration, we had secretaries of labor that understood there was a role and there was great value in a positive relationship with the labor union movement.
Right.
I think of the times when UPS had the strike with the Teamsters Union.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw a secretary of labor, Alexis Herman, who I think the world of, actively engaged trying to bring that dispute to closure.
Right.
In the last 8 years, we've had some terrible situations that occurred in America, and our Secretary of Labor was AWOL.
Yeah, absolutely. And not just AWOL, hostile.
Hostile.
I mean,
hostile.
You know, you've got an entire institution that's hostile. And my point wasn't so much to take a pot shot at the Clinton administration as to say that we've had a relatively unrelenting war against organized labor for 28 years now.
Well, this is something that should be noted, and you're absolutely correct. We've had a couple of administrations, Ronald Reagan, but exacerbated by George Bush, the current president. After 9/11, when we declared war on the enemies, the terrorists of our country, what wasn't so prominent was the war then that was declared and waged on American workers as our economy suffered from the effects of 9/11. It was people dumped on labor thinking that working people, whether or not they belonged to the union, were at fault for something, and we were going to have to suffer pain as the country suffered. And it was perpetrated on the working people, but the rich class got great benefit from all of this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and, well, they cut the top, you know, marginal income tax rate on people who earn their living sitting around the pool on their butt waiting for the dividend checks to arrive or the capital gains
right.
checks to arrive,
and they
down to 15% maximum.
And laid off millions of American workers.
And, in fact, one of the very first things that the Bush administration did after 9/11 when they were talking about amping up airport security was to say, well, we can't have these people unionized, and then they passed a piece of legislation and issued executive orders saying that people who worked in security, people who worked related to security, they can't be unionized because, after all, heaven forbid, they could strike or something like that. Or
imagine they might use their collective force to get a little bit of dignity and respect in the workplace.
Yeah.
And even those that were already unionized, he wanted to limit the rights on what we could do during contract negotiations, et cetera. And it was a war. They declared war against the American worker, and it was so bizarre because the American worker is the wellspring of all good things that happen in this country.
Well, it's, you know, in a demand-side economics is the only economics that's real. I mean, supply-side economics is a fiction. And what
we know that for a fact now too. By
you bet.
No longer conjecture.
That's right. It didn't work in the 20s, and it didn't work in the 90s, in the last three decades. 80s, 90s, and the early 2000s here. The source of all demand is wages, and primarily the wages of working people who spend virtually all the money that they make. And without that demand, you don't have an economy that functions. And now we have millions of people being laid off, so that's further decreasing demand, sliding us into the second Republican Great Depression here. So back to the mechanics of this. The Labor Department, I mean, for 6 years on this program, I've been calling for a rollback of Taft-Hartley. I mean, none of this small stuff for me. I want to roll back. Forget about rolling back the Bush tax cut. I want to roll back the Reagan tax cut. I want to forget about, you know, the micromanaging of the Labor
right.
Department. I want to roll back Taft-Hartley. I mean, we had stuff that worked in the 50s and 60s and 70s, you know, and in the 40s up till 47 when Taft-Hartley was passed. Other than staffing the Labor Department, as Bill Clinton did, with people who are pro-labor, it seems to me that the number one thing that has to be on the agenda of not just organized labor, but anybody who cares about having an economy that works, given the fact that wages drive the economy. And if you want to have the economy come back from this Republican Great Depression, then we got to jack up wages, is the Employee Free Choice Act. So, Tom Buffenbarger, where are we at President of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. Where are we at with this? I've been dialing around right-wing radio as I drive around in my car,
sure.
And it is amazing to me. I'm hearing almost nothing but this. I mean, these guys are just...
They're scared to death.
They're
That's
on
why
a
you're,
tear.
They're scared to death because now we have a Congress, a House of Representatives, which passed the legislation last time around. We couldn't get past the threat of filibuster in the last Senate. We're still not quite there in the Senate right now. But the big difference this time is we have a president who openly campaigned and said, we are going to have the Employee Free Choice Act. So now using the power of the presidency to help us convince enough in the House and the Senate to make this law is very good, and it's scared. It's got the Chamber of Commerce and their flunkies, the UnionFacts.com people, scared to death. They're scared of the American worker. And this is, remember, these are the agents of big business, the rich and the famous, and they're scared to death of the little people of America who make it work and hum along every day. And so, consequently, I think in this administration, President Obama's got a lot on his plate. He's got to sort through his priorities. Everything we've heard that this is on one of the front ones that we get done early in the administration. And if we can't do that, if we can't pass a law that says, you know, there's so much misinformation out there about the Employee Free Choice Act that comes from the Chamber of Commerce. And that is, it's going to deny secret ballot vote and all of this stuff. Nothing could be further from the truth. You know what this act does? Instead of letting the boss decide whether there's going to be card check or secret ballot vote, it lets the workers make that decision this time. That's the only big difference.
Heaven forbid.
And heaven forbid the worker might have a say. But if they can't do that, then maybe we should take our lessons from the Chamber of Commerce and the business community. Under Ronald Reagan and both Bushes, deregulation's been the modus operandi, the word of the day. They deregulated communications, deregulated transportation, deregulated the banks and the Wall Street institutions, deregulated insurance companies and pharmaceuticals, deregulated energy and power, etc. Maybe we ought to deregulate the other side of the economic equation then, if we can't have employee free choice. Maybe we should deregulate the labor movement, and maybe we should repeal the Taft-Hartley Act, maybe even the Wagner Act. Because, you see, big business says the best thing that can happen to our country is let the free market correct any wrongs. Well, that's called, in another term, the jungle.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're seeing what the jungle looks like today. Well, maybe if they really believe in the jungle, then let's go back to the jungle and fight it out like we had to before the labor laws.
Yeah, but if we went back to the 1880s, 1890s, and when Pinkerton was shooting people, and I mean, I get your point.
In the machinist union, we shot back.
There you go. No, a lot of people did, and you know, Joe Hill was hung out in Salt Lake City. And
terrible, but you know what? That's the experience of that. And I use this as a wild example because it shows what happens when there are no rules.
Right.
So that's why wise people like FDR, people like Teddy Roosevelt, came up and said there's got to be rules that give working people some say in their destiny. Mm. And that's why we had the labor laws. And now business wants to deregulate all of that. Well, let's take it all away.
Yeah. Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting. I think, though, the middle ground, the one that hopefully will be passed, is that we will pass the Employee Free Choice Act.
I would like to think we have become as civilized and can think that
there
we
you go.
Could do that.
There you go. Yeah, we've left the jungle behind us. Tom Buffenbarger, he is the president of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. GoIAM.org, the website. For the International Machinists Union. Tom, thanks so much for dropping by.
Thanks for having me, Tom, and keep doing a great job that you do.
Thank you. Always great talking with you. 45 minutes past the hour.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoying Republicans by defending the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
The hardest part of any home improvement project is finding a good quality contractor, somebody who's going to do the job right, complete it on time and within budget, and not going to hassle you. So who do you call? Who do you trust when you need a plumber, a painter, an electrician? I'll tell you who to call. Like me, call Angie's List. Before we signed up for Angie's List, we had a disaster contractor install a kitchen counter. We used Angie's List to find a handyman to show up and fix everything. They really came through for us. More than 650,000 homeowners nationwide use Angie's List for ratings and reviews on more than 300 service categories, even doctors. It's a word-of-mouth network for consumers. Angie's List is a growing collection of homeowners' real-life experiences with local service companies. Now the people who join Angie's List, they're like you. They're looking for a way to find trustworthy companies that perform high-quality work. To join Angie's List, go to AngiesList.com and eliminate the fear of hiring the wrong company. I joined Angie's List, and you should too today at AngiesList.com. 1-888-888-LIST. 888-888-LIST.
Ed Schultz.
We are the country of pink slips, no doubt. 467,000 more unemployed last week.
Noon to 3.
4.6 million drawing jobless claim benefits right now in America. It's like the Obama team is going to take over in 11 days, shouldering all these problems.
The Ed Schultz Show.
And the Republicans are trying to do a hell of a job of making all of us think that it's our fault.
Noon to 3.
They haven't changed a bit.
AM 620 KPOJ. Online at 620kpoj.com.
Who's always there for you? Your mum? Maybe, yeah, but sometimes she's a bit chatty with you. Oi, when are you going to get a girlfriend business? Now, GEICO, they're always there for you. They have been for over 70 years. They insure over 8 million policyholders, and their customer satisfaction is at 97%. With GEICO service, no wonder it's the third largest automobile insurance company. Your mum might cook better, but everything else, it's a very close call.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
WAMU, now a part of Chase. Open a WAMU free checking account today and get free checks and free ATM cash withdrawals at over 14,000 Chase and WAMU ATMs nationwide. Learn more at your local WAMU or visit WAMU.com.
Men, listen carefully. If you suffer from any type of erectile dysfunction, Oregon Male Performance Clinic can help you now, regardless of your age or medical history. If you want to perform for 45 minutes, an hour, 90 minutes, or longer, call 503-443-1000 in Portland. There's no pain or surgery, just the newest available safe and effective medications given to you by one of our licensed Oregon physicians. Our doctors are so sure you'll have a positive reaction to our medication on the first visit that if you don't, it's free, guaranteed. In Portland, call 503-443-1000 now. If you want to perform for up to 90 minutes or longer, or if you suffer from PE, it doesn't matter what medications or health problems you have. If Viagra and Cialis have let you down, in Portland, call 503-443-1000 today and see why our patients now have happy, healthy, complete sex lives.
Wow! That's someone discovering Lowe's has prices that can't be beat, guaranteed. Here it is in slow motion.
Wow!
Find a lower advertised price on an identical item and we'll match it, plus give you another 10% off. Lowe's, let's build something together. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
What if there was no Alzheimer's disease? What if people didn't have to suffer and caregivers didn't need your support? What if researchers unlocked the secrets of this deadly disease, found ways to prevent it, even stopped it? What if your pledge to walk or donate helped make this happen? Join the walk that millions will never forget, the Alzheimer's Association Memory Walk. To learn more, go online at alz.org. That's alz.org.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Kathy, I'm lost, I said, oh, I knew she was sleeping. I'm empty and aching, I don't know why. Counting the cars on the new church.
Well, they've all gone to Washington, D.C., it seems. They're all right here. It's incredible. Well, Tom Hartman here broadcasting live from Washington, D.C., from our radio row here, put together and organized by the Talk Radio News Service. A big tip of the hat to Ellen Ratner. And with me right now, Mike Lux. He's a Democratic strategist and the author of a new book, The Progressive Revolution, How the Best in America Came to Be. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Great to have you with us. In your book, you talk about how the progressive movement has been is different than the Democratic Party. It's different than the party system, essentially, and how it really, this progressive movement has taken many shapes and forms over the years, but has been the principal driver of social change for the last two centuries.
Yeah, the argument I make in my book is that there are big change moments that come along in America every so often, and that it really is outside forces combined with good politicians, good presidents that make things happen, but that without the outside movement, without the abolitionists in the 1860s, without the populists and progressives in the early 1900s, without the labor movement in the 1930s, without the civil rights movement in the 1960s, none of those great changes would have happened. They needed good presidents to make them happen, but they needed the movement pushing and pushing and pushing to make it happen. And I'm hoping that we're on the verge of another big change moment now.
My metaphor has always been that politicians don't wake up one day and say, "Holy cow, slavery's wrong. I'm going to change it." You know, it just doesn't happen that way. The way it happens is enough people get out in the streets, metaphorically, sometimes literally, but metaphorically. Enough people get out in the streets that the parade is so big and so overwhelming and so unignorable, if that's a word, that some brilliant politician will see that parade and say, "Whoa, look at that one," and grab a flag and run around to the front of it, hoist the flag up and say, "This is my parade." And that's what Teddy Roosevelt did. Teddy Roosevelt was elected with McKinley as McKinley's vice president as the white guy who was all in favor of big business. I mean, that was his role. And instead, what did he do? He became the trust buster. Franklin Roosevelt was elected on a platform of balanced budgets. His first piece of legislation was to cut benefits to war widows and GIs, and veterans. I mean, these guys didn't come into office saying that they were going to be agents of change the way Barack Obama has. And in every case, and Abraham Lincoln, for that matter, didn't campaign on ending slavery.
That's right.
In every single case, it has been the movement, not the politician. Now we have a politician who says that he's leading a movement. And, in fact, there appears to be a movement out there. But I'm not sure that I can, other than getting out of the war, which is kind of a done deal. Here's my concern, Mike Lux, and what you address in your book, The Progressive Revolution, How the Best in America Came to Be. In the past, we see these. We see these times, the famous statement by Franklin Roosevelt, "Make me do it," right?
Yeah.
"Please make me do it. I need your support. I need your help." Where is the movement now that is going to push Obama? And what are the issues around which it is coalescing?
Well, what I see is from the vantage point of somebody. I was in the Clinton White House, and there really was no progressive movement to speak of in those years. It was fragmented. It was single-issue oriented. Nobody was helping each other. There was very little outside organizing going on. Progressive media practically didn't exist. Now that's all started to change, I think, with the blogs, with organizations like MoveOn.org that have over 5 million members. We've got more progressive radio hosts than ever before. We've got Rachel Maddow and Keith Olbermann. We've got a real increase. We've got Huffington Post. We've got a real increase in progressive media. We've got incredible online organizing. We've got new organizations out there that go beyond the old single-issue formulations. So I see an emerging progressive movement. The question is whether it is strong enough to keep pushing.
Well, here,
but hopefully combined with Obama's being open. That's always been the key in the past. James Buchanan had the same abolitionist forces pushing him, but James Buchanan had no interest in change. Herbert Hoover, no interest in change. The difference is that you've got to have politicians that are open to change, and they still have to be pushed.
Yep.
As you said, they still have to be pushed. But if you got a politician who's open to change and a movement that will push them to change, then you've got the chance for that big change moment.
Historically, progressive movements have coalesced around a single issue, whether it was abolition, whether it was women's suffrage, whether it was labor rights. Here we have a couple of issues on the table that are fairly high visibility: national health care, the right to unionize, the Employee Free Choice Act, the end of the war in Iraq, or the end of, in fact, I would make it even larger, the end of military campaigns and adventures around the world. I think that if Obama does what he's talking about, you know, doubling our forces in Afghanistan, that's going to become his Vietnam, and it's going to be a disaster for him. But these are, each one of these are unique issues. Is the progressive movement, and we just have a minute left here, Mike, I'm sorry, is the progressive movement uniquely different in that it has broad guiding principles, or are one of these issues going to emerge as the tip of the spear?
See, I would argue that where progressive movements have worked, they have had broad guiding principles. Martin Luther King wasn't just a civil rights leader.
He
sounded the progressive trumpet.
In fact, his speech when he was assassinated was about labor.
Absolutely. Frederick Douglass wasn't just an abolitionist. He was a broad progressive leader. John L. Lewis fought for all kinds of things to help working people, not just labor unions. And I think we have a similar situation today. We're going to have progressives work together and drive a lot of these issues together at the same time, because they aren't going to be solved by themselves.
Yeah. Thank you for reframing that for me. You just expanded my frame.
I hope people will check it out. It's available at www.theprogressiverevolution.com. It talks about how history is leading to the present moment, and I hope people will check it out.
A great book, The Progressive Revolution, How the Best in America Came to Be, by Michael Lux, our guest. TheProgressiveRevolution.com. Don't forget the "the." Michael, thank you for being with us.
Thanks. Thanks, Tom.
Great talking with you. 57 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back after the news.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club. Providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620kpoj.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you live from Washington, D.C., in the, 23 hours and counting, 22 and a half, 22 and change, 22 hours, 54 minutes, I think. We have to go. Ron Pollack is with us. He's the founding executive director of Families USA, an expert on health care policy. FamiliesUSA.org is the website. Ron, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
Great to have you here with us. Ron, what do you see as the state of... the political state? I think we all know the state of healthcare in the United States. It's pretty bad. But what's the political state of it, and what are the political... Let me rephrase this a little bit. The vast majority of the American people, it seems, when offered just straight-up choices and a little bit of education, choose single-payer healthcare. And yet the Obama administration so far and most Democratic politicians want to go with systems that keep in business the healthcare companies. And, you know, my take on that is they're just afraid of these giant corporations that'll squash them like a bug if they, you know, like they did Hillary Clinton. First of all, what are your thoughts on those options? And maybe we're on the same side of this, maybe we're on different sides, and I'd love to hear it either way. And secondly, how's that all going to get translated into legislation that might actually pass?
Well, let's look at it short term and long term. In the short term, there are two pieces of legislation that are moving. One is the Children's Health Insurance legislation, which, as you remember, President Bush vetoed on two occasions.
Right, the terribly named S-CHIP.
Yes.
You know, why can't Democrats come up with, you know, like the Patriot Act? Why do they have to come up with something that sounds like you something to avoid in a cow pasture?
Yeah, or it's in your computer.
Right.
In any event, that legislation would add about 4 million children who are uninsured today and make sure they have coverage. The House actually passed this bill again last week by a more than 2-to-1 margin. The Senate is poised to do the same thing, possibly as early as this Thursday. That legislation enjoyed broad bipartisan support last go-around. We had 68 votes in the Senate, 273 votes in the House, and yet President Bush vetoed it twice. So that's likely to pass pretty soon. And then you have the stimulus package, still looking short-term. Stimulus package has several things in it that are very important, big dollar items. One is it would establish health information technology so that we would have individual records that would go with us so that when we go to a physician, they would know about our health status so they wouldn't prescribe the wrong things. You could do e-prescribing, which means you no longer have to read physicians' hieroglyphics when the pharmacy gets it. That's one important thing that's in the stimulus package. Secondly, there's tens of billions of dollars that will be provided to the states so they can continue to operate their Medicaid programs. That's the safety net program.
Right.
And thirdly, the stimulus package includes legislation to help those people who have been recently laid off. Most people, when they're laid off, the only thing they can think of getting is so-called COBRA coverage.
Right, which even that runs out after, what, 18 months or something?
It runs out after 18 months. But, we, you know, Families USA just released a study about 10 days ago that looked at the premiums that people have to pay to get COBRA coverage compared to their unemployment insurance checks. And on average, people have to pay approximately 84% of their unemployment insurance checks to keep COBRA coverage.
Good grief.
And so clearly it's unaffordable. So what the Obama administration is thinking of doing is providing some subsidies for people so they can afford COBRA coverage, and for others it would give them temporary Medicaid eligibility. So those are the things that will happen in the short term. In the long term, my hope is that President Obama will make health care reform a top priority that moves us to universal coverage. Now, it's not going to happen through a single-payer system for the very reasons you described. Insurance companies, pharmaceutical companies, the hospitals, the doctors, they all oppose this. And so I think...
Because many of them would go out of business, and well, others would become less profitable.
Yes, and so I think President-elect Obama knows that if that's the direction he goes towards universal coverage, it's going to fail.
Even though it works so well in France and so many other countries. But, you know, John Edwards had a suggestion on this, and which I thought was brilliant. He said, just kind of through the back door, quietly, make it possible for anybody to buy into Medicare. Make all of those, in other words, rather than mandating it for everybody, just make it one of the things that they can buy. There's no health insurance company in the world, or in the United States, that can compete with Medicare. Medicare is not for profit. It has a total overhead of under 3%. You just can't compete with it. And over time, over a period of 2, 3, 4 years, all these insurance companies will go quietly out of business.
Well, President-elect Obama supports that proposal. Hillary Clinton did as well during the campaign.
Right.
So that proposal is going to be in front of the Congress. Whether the Congress adopts it or not, we have to wait and see. What President-elect Obama wants to do is he wants to create a system where people have choices of plans, like members of Congress do right now. And among those choices would be a public plan.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that passes the Congress or not, I think that's it's going to be controversial.
That's going to be the key to the whole thing. Because if you have choices of plans and they're all for profit, then we're back to the situation you have with, for example, car insurance.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. George W. Bush had his, what is advertised, what's billed as his last press conference this morning. A few interesting moments worth noting. We'll get into those in about 15 minutes here. But I would say broadly, nothing of any great consequence. Nothing, no surprises. Let's put it that way. Which I suppose is how it should be on the way out. Maybe we could breathe a sigh of relief. But there are a lot of issues that are going to be on Barack Obama's plate that, frankly, have been on the American people's mind for a long, long time. And I'd say right up at the top of them, we have a broad coalition of businesses in the United States who are saying we would like to be competitive with Canada, with Western Europe, with Japan, with Korea, with other countries around the world that have universal health care. And, of course, a broad coalition of people in the United States who want national health care of some form. Robert Moffitt is with us. He is the director for the Center for Health Policy Studies at the Heritage Foundation. Prior to that, a veteran of Washington policymaking for 25 years, former senior official at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services in the Office of Personnel Management during the Reagan administration. He specializes in Medicare reform, health insurance, and other health policy issues. Robert Moffitt, Bob Moffitt, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's great to be here, Tom. How are
Thank you? I am well, thank you. And I should note, the website for the Heritage Foundation is heritage.org. I've done a couple of debates over there at the Heritage Foundation. I always found it an amicable place. Bob, why shouldn't we drive a stake through the heart of William McGuire's company, United Healthcare? Here's the second largest health insurance company in the United States, and they paid their CEO, according to a front page story in last year's Wall Street Journal, $1.78 billion. And where did they get that money? From denying health care to Americans. Why shouldn't we just kill off companies like this?
Well, I think, frankly, you got a great point. I think that we ought to have the authority to kill off companies like that. The problem is that we actually don't control the money. The money is controlled by employers. It's controlled by government officials, controlled by managed care executives like McGuire. So what I would do is I would have a revolution in financing. I would say, in effect, that we would have a situation.
Okay, we're back here. Of course, this is what happens with live radio from remote. Tom Hartman here with you from Washington, D.C. You had a moment there of best of. And Ron Pollack is with us with Families USA, familiesusa.org, the website. And, Ron, just to wrap this thing up, where do you think this is going and what do you want our listeners to do?
Well, I hope your listeners tell the Obama administration and leaders of Congress that it's critically important to get health care reform done. You can't fix the economy without fixing health care. We've got to make it affordable for businesses and for families, and it should be a top priority for this administration.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very well said. FamiliesUSA.org, the website for more information. Ron, thanks so much for dropping by.
Thanks for inviting me.
Great talking with you. It's 16 minutes past the hour.
Sorry about that.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Wasn't Jesus a community organizer? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
As the 44th president prepares to take office, here's Sarah Wartell on priorities for a successful presidency.
The challenges in front of this president are so enormous it's almost hard to contemplate. He's got a great intellectual curiosity, something I would argue that we've lacked in our leadership. He's smart and incisive, and he asks the right questions. He wants to hear someone argue with him. He doesn't just want to hear people say yes. And then he's comfortable making a choice and moving on.
Change for America, a blueprint for the 44th president. Available at airamerica.com.
There's one piece of legislation before Congress that scares big business more than any other. The Employee Free Choice Act. Walmart even held illegal closed-door meetings, telling its employees not to vote for candidates that support the Employee Free Choice Act. They don't want to pay fair wages, provide comprehensive health care, or strong retirement security. Barack Obama supports the Employee Free Choice Act and wants to give workers a voice on the job. Go to Teamster.org for more information.
She's loud. She's proud, and she definitely draws a crowd.
We cannot let the American porn industry go down.
Randy Rhodes.
So why is the porn industry asking for a bailout? I know that I've given the porn industry at least $5 billion myself, so there's no need for the bailout, Larry.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
If you cannot make money by producing pornography in this country,
3 to 6,
you are pretty much freaking hopeless.
On AM 620 KPOJ
and 620KPOJ.com.
If you need dental work, but you just can't bring yourself to go, Dr. Floyd Cash can relate. As a child, he had a bad experience at the dentist and didn't want to go back.
I was worried about going a whole week ahead of time, and I couldn't sleep the night before, and the more I went, the worse it got.
Dr. Cash runs Sleep Dentistry of Portland, dedicated to helping people who have trouble going to the dentist. From oral sedation to IV sedation or even general anesthesia, Sleep Dentistry of Portland offers the dental work you need in a gentle, non-judgmental atmosphere.
That's what I've been doing since the first day I opened. I've tried to be the gentle dentist, mainly because I knew what had bothered me, so I was trying not to create that in anybody else.
Your introductory appointment is just a dollar, including full examination, any necessary x-rays, and consultation. Get the details at sleepdentistryofportland.com or call 503-405-7686. Sleep Dentistry of Portland.
And now for the bonus round. How much wood would woodchuck chuck?
Flapjacks.
Correct. What comes next in this series? Crustacean? Kumquat?
Anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Correct. How much money will you spend on gas when you rent movies from Netflix?
Zero.
Correct. Netflix. Rent as many movies as you want for only $8.99 a month. No late fees ever. Start your free trial today. Netflix.
See terms of use.
Prices are up. The cost of running your business is up. Everything's up, except your marketing budget. So what's a small business to do? Email marketing to your current customers with ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get professional-looking email newsletters that keep your customers coming back. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial with plans as low as $15 a month. So even if the economy's down, your sales don't have to be. Put your marketing on the upswing with ConstantContact.com.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Crow, cancer survivor. If you want to know where the leading cancer research is being done, check out City of Hope Cancer Center. New drugs, new treatments that are saving lives everywhere. For information, go to CherylCrowForHope.org.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at BeavertonLodge.com.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Today, of course, Martin Luther King Day, as well as the day before the inauguration. A lot of news going on. Roger? A lot of news going on in the news of the day. Here's an interesting thing. Plague has killed 40 Al-Qaeda operatives. And that's an eyebrow raiser. Roger, if you'd like to drop by right now. We'd be pleased to have you on here. Grab a pair of headphones. We are live on the air right now. Roger Hickey is with us. He's the co-director of the Campaign for America's Future. And very pleased to have you with us, Roger. Ourfuture.org, by the way, the website. Let me turn your microphone on. There you go. Go for it.
I was about to say, it's starting to feel like we're beginning to take back America.
You know, it was like a dream a couple of years ago. There were times, I mean, after John Kerry lost or stolen or whatever, you know, without getting into that whole thing all over again, after that election went down, I had, you know, for a couple of weeks on the air, I was doing psychotherapy. I mean, we literally had people calling suicidal. You know, yeah. People thought, I mean, and it reminded me so much of the way the Republicans felt in 64 when Goldwater lost. Like, you know, this is it. It's all over. It ain't never going to happen again. And we have come so far. We have come so far. And what's amazing to me, Roger, is that the American people have, if you look at polls going all the way back to the 1920s, have been in favor of national health care by a majority, have been in favor of the right to unionize by a majority, have been in favor of such a strong Social Security program that an average working person could actually use it as a pension and retire by a large majority. Just simple, straightforward stuff that the Republicans refer to as socialism. Simple, straightforward, you know, good good education. By a majority, Americans want to have, if you're capable of going to college, free college education or very inexpensive. We're old enough to remember when you could work your way through a state school like Michigan State University with a summer job.
Yep.
And by a majority, Americans want that. And yet for, well, 30 years, it seems, you know, from the time Reagan was elected until now, it has seemed like, you know, somehow we became the outlier, the rogue nation, the weird one among the whole bunch of the rest of the industrialized countries.
And yet, people are making the conclusion that we all need to make, that we've tried the conservative solutions now for that 30-year period. They got a thoroughgoing test.
Yep.
They had their time. And what do we have to result? As a result, we've got a devastated economy. We've got a couple of wars, and we have not too much hope in this country about the next generation, except for the fact that we've now decided to elect somebody who believes in using government for the people.
Yeah, yeah, and a fine thing it is. And in you know, it's not just the last 30 years we've tried this conservative thing. We tried it in the 20s.
Yep.
We tried it in the 1880s and 1890s.
Yep.
I mean, and each time it brought about an incredible collapse. You know, the Panic of 1896, yep. You know, led right to, arguably led right to Teddy Roosevelt. Well, McKinley's assassination didn't hurt, but Teddy Roosevelt in 1901 talking about the square deal and coining the phrase living wage for the first time. And then of course the first Republican Great Depression of 1930s, and now here we seem to be sliding to the second Republican Great Depression. We're talking with Roger Hickey. He's the co-director of the Campaign for America's Future. What's the focus these days, ourfuture.org, of the Campaign for America's Future?
Well, the first thing is to make sure that this president is a success. And
how do you define
that? A lot is riding on his Economic Reconstruction and Reinvestment Act, his stimulus plan.
Right.
Which is pretty close to what we would have designed. We would have done more investment and less tax cutting, but it is absolutely essential that he get a big mandate in the Congress to go forward with this almost $1 trillion stimulus plan.
Mm-hmm.
We have a hunch that he may have to come back and ask for more, because it may not, as Paul Krugman said, it may not be adequate. But it is absolutely essential that he get the economy moving again. And we love the fact that the new president is talking about investing in things that are a down payment on the long-term stuff that we have to do anyway. Green jobs and new energy, health care for all, retooling our transportation and other systems, as well as putting people to work immediately.
Right.
So that economic stimulus is absolutely essential. Roosevelt didn't do enough early on in the Depression.
Right. Plus there was the damage of Hoover doing nothing for 2.5 years.
That's right. So that's crucial. If he gets some momentum going, and if people feel that the economy is moving again, of course he's got to tackle the banking system, which is a worse mess than anybody knows right now. Bill Greider works out of our offices, and he says that he may have to close down the banks like Roosevelt did when they get in there and find out what's going on. But economic momentum is absolutely essential. If he gets that going, then we can do health care for all in the next year.
Yeah. And, you know, from your lips to God's ears. Roger Hickey is with us, the co-director of the Campaign for America's Future, ourfuture.org. Roger, I got a bunch of calls here on the board. Do you want to stick around and take some calls with me?
Sure.
Hear what America has to say?
Okay.
Great. Ourfuture.org. Check it out. We'll be right back. Broadcasting live from the nation's capital, Tom Hartman with you.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Fighting mind-numbing incompetence. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. A long life, longevity has its place.
do God's will. He has allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land.
Martin Luther King Day, the last 24 hours, 22 hours now of the, I'd say the largest debacle in the history of the United States, the Bush presidency, the most tragic and destructive presidency that we've ever had. It is coming to an end, and I think we can all say, whew.
Good riddance.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Roger Hickey with us. He's the co-director of the Campaign for America's Future. AmericasFuture.org, or Our Future, excuse me, OurFuture.org is the website. And, Roger, let's take a few phone calls and hear what people have to say on these kind of things here. Adam in Seattle. Hey, Adam, you're on the air.
Hey, good to talk to you, Tom.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, the whole idea of universal health care means that the government would be in charge of all of the health care issues pertaining to Americans. And so the day comes that we have a SARS outbreak or we have a bird flu outbreak, and the government says, it's time for you to be vaccinated. And they say, okay, you don't want to be vaccinated. We're going to go and hold you over here until you cooperate.
Well, Adam, with or without national health care, the government has that power right now.
So
that's got nothing to do with national health care. And with a single-payer health care system, the government isn't making health care decisions and isn't dictating health care. They're simply writing the check. They're acting like an insurance company. They're simply paying the bill. So, you know, I respectfully disagree with your premise. Your thoughts, Roger?
Listen, if we have a public health emergency, the government is going to act. You know, whatever national health care plan we come up with, and what Obama's talking about, is not a very centralized one. There's going to be a lot of diversity, a lot of choice,
yeah,
a lot of different ways for people to participate while guaranteeing that everybody gets covered.
I think Bernie Sanders had a great suggestion. He said, rather than one giant national health care program like Medicare for All, which I've been an advocate of, single-payer health care, instead, let's pass either a constitutional amendment or a law that says that health care is a right, as in right to life, right there in the Declaration of Independence. Health care is a right. Every state shall provide it. The federal government will provide the states with the money and let every state figure out how they're going to do it and have 50 incubators. And eventually one of them is going to be so obviously the best and most effective way to do it, everybody else will imitate them.
But I understand what the caller's thinking about. There's a big controversy now about whether you get your kids immunized.
Yeah.
And some people demand the right not to do that. So you've always got to balance the rights of individuals with the whole society.
Yeah. Barry in Northampton, Massachusetts. Hey, Barry, you're on the air with me and with Roger Hickey.
Hi, Roger. I'm just wondering if things can really move on to the next page. And if the Obama people refuse to commit to rectifying all of the laws and all of the damage done legally, constitutionally, to the Constitution, to torture, to the Geneva Conventions, this is something that they don't seem very eager to do. And unless these precedents are displaced, it's a very looming, glooming future, I believe, that stays with us.
Good point, Barry. My take on this is that Jerry Ford did our nation a terrible disservice, not just with his pardon of Nixon, but more importantly, by stopping all the investigations into the crimes that were committed, even if nobody would go to jail because of the pardons. And then Bill Clinton did the same thing with Iran-Contra. He said, okay, we're not going to look into that. We're going to look back. We're going to look forward, not behind. And I don't think that George Bush would have been so bold about breaking the law had those two decisions not made before. Been made.
Yeah, and I don't think you're going to see many pardons. There is going to be a lag period, probably, while Obama consolidates his new government and creates some momentum for himself in a bipartisan way. But My hope is the wheels of justice grind on, and things that are shown to be have been illegal get prosecuted.
Yeah, it's called the rule of law. Caleb in Portland. Hey, Caleb, what's on your mind today?
I got a grin on my face that only surgery can remove. You know, I have the utmost belief and hope that Obama will do the things that he is now being criticized for not doing. Give him time, for God's sakes.
Yeah, he's not president yet.
Yeah, and also, gee, I loved watching, I think it was Summers this weekend on one of the talk shows, and he was asked, is Obama going to maintain the tax breaks for the wealthiest? And Summers did not say that he will. He said, well, that's under discussion, and I have great hopes that he is going to push back the tax cuts. And, Tom, hopefully in the fullness of time, he will do what you want as well and push back the Reagan tax cuts. But, my gosh, my grin is just so huge. And as you said, Tom, compared to 4 years ago when Kerry was defeated, geez, everyone is smiling around me.
There you go. And same here, Caleb. Thanks a lot for the call. Roger?
It's an amazing, amazing couple of days that are truly historic. There are so many convergences here. I cut my teeth in the civil rights movement in Virginia and the South, and people who thought they would never see this day come are now here in Washington celebrating it. There is an incredible power in what's happening today, and we've just got to build it and let it ride to its momentum for change.
There you go. There you go. And get out in front of it and push it and be a part of it and not just sit back and say, oh, well, everything's fine now. Good people are elected. Sorry, they're not going to have the power if we don't give it to them. Dick in Ohio, you're on the air with Tom Hartman and Roger Hickey.
Hey, Tom, and hey, Roger. I got a point I would like to make. You were going back to, I know it goes back to your book, Tom, that I think my belief is this corporate America is killing the democracy, and what you've got to do, you've got to believe in this new guy to create jobs. You don't want to have your health programs, cut bad, like your Medicare and things, and I think you should really start thinking about the welfare of the people. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. And thank you, Dick. Well said.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And Roger, co-director of the Campaign for America's Future, ourfuture.org, the welfare of the people. The Constitution's pretty explicit about the government being responsible for the welfare of the people. And, in fact, Alexander Hamilton, in his report on manufacturers in 1791, laid out all these things he thought the government should do to nurture new industries and infant industries, including subsidies to industries that would be important, tariffs, things like that. And he asked rhetorically the question, he stated, some of my opponents say that this is unconstitutional because the Constitution doesn't provide for this power in the government. But the preamble to the Constitution explicitly says that we created this country to provide for the welfare of the people.
Yep.
And these things will enhance the general welfare. He said this is the most broad of all the provisions. And that was 1791.
Yep. And here we are after eight, maybe 30 years of conservative rule, in which the conservatives have always argued that the best way to get the health and prosperity of the people is to step back and let it rip. We're clearly concluding, the American people are concluding, that doesn't work, that we've got to be proactive and government has got to be a part of investing and directing and caring for the health of our economy. And Obama has a huge job. He has got to get this economy moving at a time when the banking system has failed and the confidence of the people is shaken.
Yeah.
So it's going to take a Hamiltonian effort to really, or a Rooseveltian effort, to really revive this economy.
Yeah.
And
or
public,
both.
The public is with him.
Yeah, yeah. Or both. I really, I said on Keith Olbermann's show the other day, I wish Obama and our legislators would read Hamilton's 1791 report on manufacturers because it was so prescient. Scott in Ithaca, New York, looks like maybe my call screen software has locked. Oh, there we go. Hey, Scott, we got a minute here before the break, Scott.
Sorry, I'll spit it out really quick. As I've said before, I think our bailout should have been and should be now about $150 to $200 billion towards homeowners that bought houses that were between $100,000 to $125,000, anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000 of a bailout to get them back on their feet. Yeah. That in itself would have really turned this economy around.
Well, this is what Roosevelt did. Thank you, Scott. Roger Hickey, ourfuture.org. Roosevelt created an agency that bought mortgages that people couldn't pay. Most back then, they were mostly five-year mortgages. And we actually, by the 1950s and 60s, when this was dissolved, showed a profit on it.
And the Obama folks, when they get into the Treasury Department, I'm afraid that they're going to find that nobody knows where that money went.
Yeah.
It's just been pissed away.
Just like the billions in Iraq.
So they may have to do what Roosevelt did and close the banks for a while, but they certainly are going to have to address the mortgage foreclosure problem and keep people in their homes.
Yeah, they may want to start with Bank of America and J.P. Morgan Stanley.
Yep.
I'll tell you. Roger Hickey, Our Future, the campaign for America's future. Thank you, Roger.
Great to be with you.
Great talking with you. It's 45 minutes past the hour.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Saving the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ. Portland's only progressive talk station.
Report software piracy confidentially to the Business Software Alliance, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Don't let your boss get away with it. If you know software is being copied illegally, report it, and the BSA may reward it, up to $1 million for qualifying software piracy leads. Visit nopiracy.com or call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. Know it, report it, reward it. That's nopiracy.com or call 1-888-NO-PIRACY.
Pick up the phone and speak your mind.
It really is the ultimate pay no attention to the man behind the curtain move by Rod Blagojevich.
The political class in this country has latched on this proviso that says that the legislature may empower the executive to make temporary appointments until the people fill the vacancy.
We're talking more about Burris. It is going to be a huge mess no matter what happens.
Let us know what you think. Call us at 866-303-2270. We're listening.
We shall never forget.
I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream.
AM 620, KPOJ.
Not an end, but a beginning.
Here's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ.
KPOJ presents the People's Inaugural Ball Tuesday, January 20th at the Crystal Ballroom, a benefit for Oregon Food Bank. Admission is free with a ticket and suggested donation of two cans of food. Join KPOJ's Carl Wolfson and enjoy live entertainment, a silent auction, and more. Tickets available at Floor Trends Northwest, Music Millennium, or here at the KPOJ offices while they last. Go to 620kpoj.com, keyword ball, for more info on this 21 and over only event. Brought to you by Clear. Be sure to check out their super fast mobile internet service or go to clear.com. Portland Center Stage presents its production of Apollo, an epic multimedia examination of post-World War II America that explores the birth of the U.S. space program. On the Portland Center main stage, January 13th through February 8th. Be sure to listen to The Morning Show with Carl and Christine all week long for your chance to pick up a pair of tickets to the show. For more information on how to buy tickets, show times, and more, visit pcs.org.
And that's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station.
Are you looking for the perfect gift for a progressive gardener? How about a copy of the gorgeous and informative new Encyclopedia of Northwest Native Plants for Gardens and Landscapes by Robson, Richter, and Filbert? You can buy it wherever fine books are sold, but if you buy it from me, Callie Robson, owner of Nothing But Northwest Natives Nursery in Woodland, Washington, I'll sign it for you. For information, call 360-225-6440 or visit nothingbutnwnatives.com.
Hi, Tom Hartman here with a true confession. I'm a picky eater. That's why when I'm on the east side, I go to Hawthorne Fish House. When I'm on the west side, Corbett Fish House, the home of healthy fish and chips. Top quality fish, a light dusting of rice flour and hot rice bran oil seals the fish to an almost greaseless, light, moist fish. And as a bonus for me, it's gluten-free. Crisp salads, Dana's homemade soup, sweet desserts. Hawthorne and Corbett Fish House has a full menu. Hawthorne Fish House Southeast, Corbett Fish House Southwest, where picky eaters eat.
Hi, I'm Stefan Agier, president and founder of Green Hammer in Portland. Green Hammer's aim is environmental stewardship, maximum energy efficiency, and long-term effectiveness, while supporting our local economy. Green Hammer is the nation's first and only Forest Stewardship Council certified builder, and has received the highest LEED Platinum rating for remodels and new home construction in the country. To learn how Green Hammer is setting the standard for green building, visit greenhammerconstruction.com or call us at 503-804-1746.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
The city is celebrating. Tom Hartman here with you live from Washington, D.C., 9.5 minutes before the hour. And Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, the former lieutenant governor of the state of Maryland, her website KathleenKennedyTownsend.com, and author, is with us. And welcome.
Hey, it's so good to be with you.
It's great. It's great sitting across from you. We've talked on the radio a number of times, but it's great. And what a wonderful time.
Well, really, I was thinking of the time because we've talked over the years, and we've talked in grim times, and wondered what was going on with our country, and could we ever get it back? And today, and you know, we're right before the inauguration, and there's such a sense of joy and happiness, relief, excitement. It's though we've been wandering in the wilderness, and finally we've come to the promised land.
Indeed. And, you know, and it's not a tortured metaphor anymore. It's like...
It's appropriate. We have been, I think, actually worse than wandering is we've been tortured in the desert.
Yes.
And it's been a bad leadership.
And tragically... I mean, even some U.S. citizens, Jose Padilla, you know, his lawyer says that he's a piece of furniture now. He has no personality left. They tortured him to the point of they destroyed his mind.
They destroyed many people.
Yeah.
And they destroyed people physically and mentally, like Padilla, but they also destroyed themselves in believing that this is what they needed to do.
Yeah.
That they were such, in a sense, scaredy cats.
Yeah.
You know, we are all have threats in our lives. I mean, people often say to me, how do you get involved in politics given what's happened to your family? But you don't live in fear. And I think the Bush-Cheney administration just, they had not paid attention to the information, and so they just lived in fear.
Yeah.
Rather than have a sense of confidence, they didn't have it with themselves, and they certainly didn't give it to the country.
I think it may well be post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, they freaked out on November 11th, on 9/11, and just never got over it. Bush was hopscotching around the country like a scared little kid, trying to avoid paintballs, and Dick Cheney was hiding in his underground bunker.
Exactly, and that's how they responded, and this is not... This is not leadership. This is what you do when
fear.
You're scared. It's
they,
fear.
They did exactly, and then they did exactly what Osama bin Laden wanted them to do.
Absolutely, which is why Osama bin Laden, you know, sent a telegram 3 days before the last election in order to get George Bush to win. It's so perfect because he knows how to fight a George Bush. It's perfect.
Yes.
Osama bin Laden will find it much more difficult to wage war against Barack Obama, as you could see when he was calling, you remember those quotes, a house Negro?
Yes.
I mean, he was trying to drum up images, and it was laughable, ugly.
Yeah.
And so that's what's so great about this election is that you have somebody who will not fit into the stereotypes that George Bush was so easy to make fun of and easy to fight.
Yeah. Unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever. I mean, the fact of the matter is that I think in 2004, bin Laden understood our culture and nailed it. And in 2008, he didn't.
He didn't believe that we could change. And what is great is that we can. And it's really a tribute, I think, to the youth of our country who saw the world differently and said, you know, the great quote from John Kennedy, the young people have the greatest stake, the least ties to the past and the greatest stake in the future. And the young people were saying, this is our future. Wake up, America. We need a better leader.
Yeah. And you're the oldest daughter of Robert Kennedy.
Yeah, I am.
And if anybody would know the potential to be frightened by the threats
right.
in political life. I mean, first your uncle was assassinated. Right. Actually, even before you were born, your eldest uncle died in war. In Joe Kennedy died
yes.
in World War II. And then your uncle was assassinated, and then your father was assassinated. And yet you get it. That it's not, as Franklin Roosevelt said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And these guys, they're like children, like frightened children.
Or frightened adults. You know, adults can be frightened, too. I wouldn't just say that it's like frightened children.
Yeah.
They're frightened adults, and frightened adults do worse things because they
have
more power.
You're right.
And I think we should recognize that everybody is fear. I mean, none of us are fearless. And it's how we deal with our fears and how we evaluate our fears. And obviously George Bush and Dick Cheney did a terrible job.
And the people around them, you know, the John Hughes of the world, the Richard Pearls. You know, I had Richard Pearl on this program the other day. And, you know, he said, you know, I said, well, you know, in your 1998 letter, you asked Bill Clinton to use military force against Iraq. And he says, oh, no, we didn't. He says, we didn't suggest that he declare war, he go against Iraq militarily. And I just assumed for a moment that he must be telling me the truth and that my memory was wrong. And so during the break, after he was gone, I pulled out the letter, and there it was. You know, use military force against Saddam.
Did you show it to him?
Well, he was off the air by that point.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he just lied to my face.
But
I was just astounded by this.
Well, that's the other thing that has happened in the last 8 years, that this administration has lied and believed that lying
and continues to,
and believed that lying was okay in search of a greater good.
Yeah, it's the noble lie theory.
We know what's good for you, and therefore we will lie to you.
Yeah.
And I hope we will have a revitalization of the administration of truth, and that truth is a value in our society, which we really need, not only in government, but in business, in science, because so much of science is, you know, funded by corporations that have views about what the science should say. So we've been in a fog of deceit and deception, and it's really important, I think, for all of us to fight for the truth.
These guys have believed that lies are powerful,
yeah.
when in fact the truth is what sets us free.
Yes,
the truth
right.
is the real power.
Absolutely.
Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, thank you so much for being with us today.
Great to be with you.
It's great sharing some time with you on this historic day here in Washington, D.C. It's 57 minutes past the hour. Coming up next, Congressman Bob Filner is going to drop by at the top of the next hour. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. Well, George W. Bush has issued some pardons. He has pardoned Ignacio Ramos and Jose Campion, the controversial border agents who had shot a guy as he was fleeing from them. This is a very interesting and complex situation, but basically I call it the Lou Dobbs pardon. Lou Dobbs is the guy who turned this thing into a right-wing cause celeb, as it were. Last day of of Gitmo hearings being squeezed in. Senator Murkowski, Lisa Murkowski, begging George Bush to pardon Ted Stevens. Oh, man, it's incredible. I mean, all the stuff that's going on in the newsosphere. Oh, my. 866-303-2270, by the way, our telephone number. And we're broadcasting live from Radio Row in downtown Washington, D.C. here today. And Liz in Valley Glen, California. Hey, Liz, welcome to the show. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, good morning to you. Something when you first started talking about how labor was being done in and all the laws that were changed to destroy the underpinnings, I kept thinking about the story or parable about the goose who laid the golden egg and the guy who wanted to kill it.
Yeah.
And I think about what these people have done, these conservatives, and on so many levels, not only the income to the worker, the health care, everything you talk about, and they're killing the golden egg.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's the perfect metaphor because this 30-year war on organized labor that Ronald Reagan has initiated and has been pretty much steadily and consistently waged ever since then, and that is, of course, ongoing. By destroying labor, what they're destroying is the force, wages, that drives demand in an economy, that grows an economy, and that makes a nation strong and an economy healthy.
And makes them rich. And aren't they concerned about the people who serve them in a restaurant? Do you want somebody with tuberculosis serving you food? I mean, on so many levels. And you don't know what somebody has. You know, if they're sick and they're covering it up because they have to go to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you rag so much on poor Ronald Reagan. And poor Ronald Reagan, I got to tell you, anybody who's dealt with a family member that has Alzheimer's, by the time Nancy was whispering in his ear, it was anywhere between 8 and 20 years that he had Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And he was the perfect shill for these people because what happens with somebody who has Alzheimer's, they remember 20, 30 years ago better than they remember yesterday.
No, he
was an actor. And whatever they put in front of him, he could do. Go out and play president today. And that's what he did.
Yeah, I know it quite well. My mother has Alzheimer's, and in fact, my brother called us over the weekend and said that she may just have a few months to live. And it's amazing over the last decade how well she covered it up, and my dad covered it up, for her and protected her. And then when he died a couple of years ago, it just all of a sudden became obvious to all of us, you know. And it's a tragic disease. But yeah, I would say I think I could say with some confidence that Reagan's Alzheimer's was alive and well, or whatever the right phrase is, during the last few years of his presidency, certainly. Yeah,
and when he was sleeping during emergencies because they didn't want to wake him, because he obviously wasn't capable of coping with anything.
Yeah, yep,
and,
absolutely.
And I understand what you're going through because my father went through the same thing, or is going through the same thing. And
well,
it's real difficult.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Thank you, Liz. Thank you very much for the call. Congressman Bob Filner is with us. And Congressman, welcome.
Thank you.
It's a Democrat from California.
Pretty exciting outside. Thousands of people here. Everybody really excited about what's happening.
So, I arrived at midnight last night, and this morning the extent of my experience in Washington, D.C. so far was getting lost and finally taking the metro over to Union Station, walking over here to the hotel. What is going on outside?
Well, most of the Congress people and senators are giving out their tickets to tomorrow's inaugural through their offices.
Yes.
But the security at the entrances is very tight, and there's literally tens of thousands of people here, and the lines stretch literally all around the buildings to get in, so you can wait till tomorrow and be cold too. But what amazes me is all the people come up to my office who waited online. Nobody was upset. Nobody was getting antsy. Everybody was making new friends. It was like we are one. You know, it's like he's brought the whole country together, and everybody's just talking and happy and excited. I've never seen such a such an incredible environment here in Washington.
That's wonderful. We're talking with Congressman Bob Filner, the representative of the 51st District, Southeast California, San Diego area, and environs. The Democrat, house.gov/Filner, F-I-L-N-E-R is the website. Congressman, what do you see as the at the top of the legislative agenda here?
Well, clearly, get the economy back to work, and we're going to try to pass something in the next couple of weeks. Getting out of Iraq, which was, the basic start of Obama's candidacy. I'm chairman of the Veterans Affairs Committee in the Congress. And
that's right. Larry Scott on our program talks very well of you very frequently.
And, Obama chose General Eric Shinseki as the new VA secretary, who was best known for his candor and courage to say that this Iraqi war could not be won with so few troops as the Bush and Rumsfeld wanted. And he said, no, you needed a 250,000 troops. Yeah. And he got fired from his job as chief of staff of the Army, the highest position. But that showed the man's courage.
Yes.
He was also a veteran of Vietnam whose foot was amputated. Mm-hmm. So he understands, the health care needs of those who have served. So I'm really looking forward to him as the secretary. We had lots of problems with confidence in the VA, getting enough resources there, records being shredded, for example, and diagnoses being purposely screwed up so it wouldn't cost us as much, on and on. So we have to turn a whole culture around in the VA, and I think General Shinseki will do it.
The Veterans Administration, arguably, there's this argument about socialized medicine versus single payer. And we have a single payer program in the United States. It's called Medicare. And we have a socialized medicine system in the United States. It's called the Veterans Administration Hospital System, where the hospitals are owned by the government and employees.
And all the employees are paid by the government, including all the doctors.
Yeah. And I think the broad consensus among most vets is that it works damn well. And
if you called that, these are the first person somehow who speak out against socialized medicine, yet that's what they have.
Yeah.
And it works. I mean, guys like, how soon we forget the name, the guy who ran for president, McCain.
Yes.
I mean, he's brought
that old guy.
He spent his whole life being cared for.
By the VA.
The military system, which is socialized medicine to the max, because every doctor is paid by the government, every service. And then he wants everybody else to have the private sector.
Right.
And yet, if we opened up Medicare to a little bit younger ages, or opened up the VA to families of veterans, we could get virtually all the population covered in a brief amount of time.
Yeah.
And it would be an American system that is the Medicare system that people know and pretty much enjoy. The VA system that has problems, and the military hospital system, but people like it.
Right. We just have a minute left. Okay. We're talking with Congressman Bob Filner. I'm curious to what extent the Bush administration in the last eight years has done to the VA what they did to FEMA. In other words, let's break it so that we can say, it doesn't work.
Exactly. They say support troops. So when they came home, there was not the resources. They literally cut the VA budget year after year after year for the 8 years, and yet when I've been chairman now for 2 years, and we increased the budget 40% in just 2 years.
And Bush took credit for that, by the way.
Yeah, but that's unprecedented. So we've turned it around.
Yeah.
And the people who work there are great, but their morale has suffered, and they haven't had the resources, and they've been, there's a culture of dishonesty there that has to be changed. So, he screwed it up as well as he could. We hope that Obama and Shinseki will get it back on track.
Yeah, from your lips to God's ears. It's pretty clear to me it's going to happen. And with you as the chairman of the committee and pushing this and making it happen, it's going to be a fine thing. Congressman Bob Filner from California's 51st District, house.gov/Filner, F-I-L-N-E-R. Congressman, thanks so much for being with
us. Thanks so much.
Very nice to meet you, sir. It is 16 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you, 866-303-2270. Our telephone number, airamerica.com, tomhartman.com for our blog and our audio stream and our live chat room. We'll be right back.
Where are you based?
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, Nationwide.
AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
The hardest part of any home improvement project is finding a good quality contractor, somebody who's going to do the job right, complete it on time and within budget, and not going to hassle you. So who do you call? Who do you trust when you need a plumber, a painter, an electrician? I'll tell you who to call. Like me, call Angie's List. Before we signed up for Angie's List, we had a disaster contractor install a kitchen counter. We used Angie's List to find a handyman to show up and fix everything. They really came through for us. More than 650,000 homeowners nationwide use Angie's List for ratings and reviews on more than 300 service categories, even doctors. It's a word-of-mouth network for consumers. Angie's List is a growing collection of homeowners' real-life experiences with local service companies. Now the people who join Angie's List, they're like you. They're looking for a way to find trustworthy companies that perform high-quality work. To join Angie's List, go to AngiesList.com and eliminate the fear of hiring the wrong company. I joined Angie's List, and you should too today at AngiesList.com. 1-888-888-LIST. 888-888-LIST.
You know, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, and hundreds, that money is backed by what is called the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I don't know about you, but I have no faith in this government. And as far as its credit rating, if the U.S. government were rated by one of these rating companies,
what would it be? Zero worth?
It's Mike Malloy.
I mean, how do you rate a nation that's $12 trillion in debt?
Evening, 8 to 11. AM 620 KPOJ, 620KPOJ.com.
If you're a woman and you're sick and tired of watching your hair get thinner and thinner, we're about to challenge everything you think you know about hair loss, because we're going to send you a free trial of a product that separates fact from fiction. A product with an FDA-approved ingredient clinically proven to help stop women's hair loss and regrow hair. It's pure therapy, and it's yours to try risk-free when you call 1-800-600-5203. You're going to be amazed by what you see, because the main ingredient in pure therapy literally helps regrow hair and repair damage to give you thicker, fuller, more beautiful looking hair, maybe for the first time in your life. And its sulfate-free formula is safe even for color-treated hair. Come on, ladies, because it's finally your turn to be free from embarrassing hair loss. Call 1-800-600-5203 and try it free before you buy it. But hurry for this radio-only offer. For your free trial, call 1-800-600-5203. 1-800-600-5203.
If you're eligible for Medicare or turning 65, there's a good chance you're concerned about the cost and quality of health care. Listen to what Sterling Medicare enrollees have to say about their Sterling health plans.
Sterling provides service and peace of mind, and they do it in an economical way.
I know Sterling's right there. If I have to go to the hospital, Sterling's there to take care of the bills.
You know, we're seniors, and fixed income is very important. And you have to do the best you can with that income. So we can do better with Sterling than we could with the other companies.
You know when you'll find out if your health insurance is any good? When you file a claim. When that time comes, what will you have to say about your insurance company? For more information on Medicare plans, including prescription drug coverage offered by Sterling, call 1-800-489-8506 today. Underwritten by the Sterling Life Insurance Company. Real people. Wise choices.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Crow, cancer survivor. If you want to know where the leading cancer research is being done, check out City of Hope Cancer Center. New drugs, new treatments that are saving lives everywhere. For information, go to CherylCrowForHope.org.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at BeavertonLodge.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. You know, 4 years ago, George Bush had a rather interesting inaugural day ceremony, courtesy of NBC News and Michael Moore. Let's share a minute and 2 seconds of that with you.
Inauguration coverage, 2001, on a
nasty, but it could be worse kind of day in Washington.
What do we want?
Justice! What
do we want?
Justice!
On the day George W. Bush was inaugurated, tens of thousands of Americans poured into the streets of D.C. in one last attempt to reclaim what had been taken from them. They pelted Bush's limo with eggs and brought the inauguration parade to a halt. The plan to have Bush get out of the limo for the traditional walk to the White House was scrapped. Bush's limo hit the gas to prevent an even larger riot. No president had ever witnessed such a thing on his inauguration day. And for the next 8 months, it didn't get any better for George W. Bush.
I'd say for the next 4 years, it didn't get any better for George W. Bush. I mean, he went to London. They had to lock down the, four square miles or something. I mean, everywhere he goes, they have to keep people away from him. So, on the other hand, Barack Obama has been doing his whistle-stop tour. He's given a number of speeches recently. Let's just segue through some pieces of it. First of all, his welcome to Washington and welcome to the celebration of America's renewal.
Welcome to Washington, and welcome to this celebration of American renewal.
And his comment that we got some challenges.
I won't pretend that meeting any one of these challenges will be easy.
But he has hope.
What gives me hope is what I see when I look out across this mall. From these monuments are chiseled those unlikely stories that affirm our unyielding faith. A faith that anything is possible in America.
And why? It is you.
It is you, Americans of every race and region and station, who came here because you believe in what this country can be and because you want to help us get there.
There you go. And how we proved it by, this goes way beyond just by electing him, but here's Barack Obama. You proved it once more.
You proved once more that people who love this country can change it.
And that's the thread that holds us together.
It is this thread that binds us together in common effort, that runs through every memorial on this mall, that connects us to all those who struggled and sacrificed and stood here before.
And therefore, he says, now reveal that character once more. Show us. Come on. It's your turn, guys. We need some help.
I ask you to help reveal that character once more. And together, we can carry forward as one nation and one people the legacy of our forefathers that we celebrate today.
Because really, that's the only way it's ever been done. That's the only way it's ever worked is when all of us came out together, when all of us stood together, when all of us worked together, when all of us pushed and pulled together, pushed the politicians, pulled the policies forward. This is how it's always happened.
It is how this nation has overcome the greatest differences and the longest odds. Because there is no obstacle that can stand in the way of millions of voices calling for change.
And that's it. That's it. It's not about electing the perfect person. It's not about having wonderful politicians. There's all kinds of wonderful politicians out there. It's, for example, Franklin Roosevelt and Herbert Hoover confronted the same crises, the same problems, the exact same problems when they came into office. And yet Herbert Hoover chose to do nothing. In fact, he had Andrew Mellon saying, liquidate everything, liquidate labor, liquidate the banks, liquidate the businesses, let it all fall, and eventually, better men will pick it up. Franklin Roosevelt, on the other hand, and Hoover did not listen to the people. They were creating tent cities around Washington, D.C. They called them Hoovervilles all over the country, actually. Franklin Roosevelt heard the message. He heard the people. This is a guy who did not campaign on the New Deal. In fact, Franklin Roosevelt's first piece of legislation was to cut benefits to war widows and soldiers from World War I. He wanted to balance the budget. He campaigned on a balanced budget. And yet when he came into office, he got it. He got it that, as Barack Obama said in that last clip, let's just hear that last clip one more time. It's how this nation has overcome.
It is how this nation has overcome the greatest differences and the longest odds. Because there is no obstacle that can stand in the way of millions of voices calling for change.
So it takes two things. Not just electing a good guy. Not just saying, oh, yeah, finally we got a president. No, it's us. It's you and me. It's every one of us getting our friends out there, getting ourselves out there, getting active, getting involved, getting engaged, being part of the process, being to torture a cliche, being part of the solution. And now is the time that's more important than any other in our history, right now.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
If a song could be president, we could all add another verse. Life would teach us to rehearse till we found the key change. Break out of this minor key, have truths and hypocrisy. We would meet an underachiever in chief. If a song could be president, we'd make Neil Young a senator, even though he came from Canada. Emmylou would be ambassador, world leaders would listen to her.
34 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here on Air America Radio, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C., where less than 22 hours from now, our great national nightmare will be over, to paraphrase a previous, I think it was Gerald Ford who
Gerald
said that.
Gerald Ford about Richard Nixon.
About Richard Nixon, yep. And
when he pardoned him.
Yes, which created a whole new national nightmare.
Which is a whole
nightmare.
New set of things we've got to worry about for tomorrow, what pardons we're going to end up seeing.
You betcha. And, yeah. I've got a list of, there's actually groups taking odds, the Irish bet makers. The other voice you hear is James Ogbey, who is with me. He is the president of the Arab American Institute, AAIUSA.org, the website. And first of all, Jim, okay. Jim, what's on your mind? What are you seeing around here? What are your greatest hopes and greatest fears for the next 4 years?
Well, there was a time when I think I worried about expectations being too high. I've come to feel, though, that this is a uniquely gifted person, Barack Obama. Mm. I think he knows how to manage expectations, and somewhat has, I think, his a finely tuned ear. He knows what he's saying and to whom he's speaking, and he knows how to calibrate his message for the moment. So I'm not as worried about that as I was. I like everybody else, I'm just swept up with the moment. Worried about one thing, I think, though, and that is just a little piece I wrote today about the King legacy, this notion that the dream is realized, it's all over. And I think some of us don't think about the fact that, I don't know the exact number, but it's well over 60, almost 70% of Americans were not alive when King was. We are that young a nation,
yeah.
And we have that many new immigrants. And therefore, the day actually doesn't become less important, King Day today. Mm-hmm. It becomes more important because Americans don't remember and or have a whitewashed memory of that period. And therefore, this is not the day to celebrate a saint or some kind of Easter Bunny character. but it's a day about the real king, the real original sin of America, and the legacy we are still living with. Barack Obama doesn't absolve us of our history. He actually ought to remind us of what is still remaining to be resolved in our history.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see my children or my grandchildren lose sight of where we were, how far we've come to be sure, but really how much further we still have to go. That, if anything is on my mind today, that's it. It's this understanding Obama and the legacy of King and what challenges still remain for us to deal with, that history that is still with us.
You know, it's interesting. The pre-literate societies, for the majority of the history of the human race, we didn't write things down.
Mm.
And so what we did was we told stories. Everything had a story. Mm-hmm. Every tree had a story. Every rock had a story. Every animal had a story. Every place had a story. Every family had a story. And story was how we transmitted culture, and it's how we remembered things. And when I lived in Vermont, I believe it was the University of Vermont, it was one of the colleges there, the Abenaki is the Native American tribe there, and they have stories of what happened 10,000 years ago, when the mountains of blue ice, the walls of blue mm-hmm. ice receded, of what happened, where, when, the order in which it happened, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so a bunch of geologists went out and checked it out. And their memory was accurate,
mm-hmm.
a 10,000-year-old accurate memory. And there are a number of anthropologists over the years who've pointed out how literacy has really been a curse in some ways as much as a blessing, because when we started writing things down, we stopped telling stories. We stopped having these multi-generational stories. We stopped teaching our children. And it's so important that there be some stories that transcend literacy, that transcend the written down, the here it's in a book, that we teach our children.
You're tapping into my weak point here. My PhD is in religion and anthropology, and so this issue of how we create stories and how we use the stories to validate our current reality is something very important to me. I think that you're right about the storytelling. What's also true about the storytelling is that the stories ended up getting modified to sort of interpret the past in terms of the present we needed. We're not much better today, though. Writing it down is good, but in the era in which we live of information overload and therefore an abundance of received, not experiential knowledge,
mm-hmm.
You end up with a George Bush, somebody who can construct a reality that many people will believe.
Yeah.
We are winning in Iraq, and we are this, and we are that. And people will go to the Internet, which has a plethora of information, and they'll self-select only the information that validates what they already want to know.
Right.
So we're better, but we're not. I mean, reality rears its ugly head, and we have to be ready for it. And that is unfortunately where we are not today, is ready to deal with reality. And I think that's one of the tragic period. For example, the conflict we just went through in Israel and Palestine, where I did shows. I was on Larry King talking to Alan Dershowitz. It was an exact replay of the conversation he and I had 2006 when he used the same rhetoric.
Mm.
He said, "We're going to teach him a lesson. We're going to do this. We're going to do that." And I said, "Alan, what happened in 2006? Why will this one be any different?
Right.
Don't you remember?"
Yeah.
And the result is that we really don't remember. We have the written record, but we never look at it. I mean, we do the same thing with the written record. That is to say, we interpret it and whitewash it and sort of peel it away and take what we want that validates what we want to believe. And I think what's so unique about Barack Obama is that he is a historian president. He is a storytelling president. He is a reality check president. He calls not only on us to listen to our better angels, but he also reminds us of our history. I was listening to his speeches from Philadelphia down to Washington, and I was saying it's like a class in American history. Each step along the way, he reminded us of who we are, where we've come from, the challenges we face. It's going to be a great 8 years.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
Yeah.
I sure hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
Don't we all?
I got the spam email this morning, you know, saying, "No, we don't want Obama to succeed. Obama's success will mean a socialist nation. It will mean the destruction of the Middle East. It will mean, you know, and all." I mean, the talking point. They are putting the talking points out so fast right now, and so furious, and it's just, it is, well.
It's painful. He weathered those storms. I think, you know, you test the mettle of a president not by how they deal with their set agenda, but how they respond to the agenda thrown at them.
Yes.
And when you think about what this guy has had to deal with in the 2 years he's been running for president, I mean, he beat the former first lady. He beat the former vice presidential candidate who'd been in Iowa, living there practically for 2 years. He beat two senators who had 60 years experience in the Senate between them. He beat two governors who'd been twice elected and were very popular. And he beat the guy who was considered unbeatable in the beginning. I mean, if you look at the polls just 1 year before the election, if you look at the polls 2 months before New Hampshire, it was Giuliani and Clinton, and that was a done deal. This guy beat them all, and I think that he's uniquely gifted. This is not a fluke. This is not a rookie. This is a guy who comes into the big leagues with a lot of experience behind him and a self-awareness that I think is also so instructive. When one of the things that, if you don't mind, I just want to go on a bit of a discursus here.
We have 2.5 minutes.
Well, I won't take it all. I've been doing this work for way too long. And one of the things that always intrigued me was how sick the guys who run for president are. I mean, really. I mean, I loved them, and I worked for some of them and supported them. But I was going to write an article at one point called Democrats and Their Dads about alcoholic, abusive, absent fathers and domineering mothers and how it makes these guys need to do this to destroy. I mean, literally, running for president ruins your life. I mean, in terms of the fact that there's no normalcy left.
Right.
Why did they want to do it, I thought. And then I read Barack Obama's book, and I said, this
Dreams
may be
father.
The first guy who actually has gone through therapy on his own, figuring out who he is. Bill Clinton never spent time figuring out who he was.
Yeah.
And therefore, we all paid the price for him working out his traumas.
Right.
And George Bush, et cetera. This guy knows who he is. He is at ease, I think, because he really is at ease. And he puts us at ease. And I look forward to a really extraordinary presidency. And I'm excited about today and tomorrow and the years to come.
Yeah.
And thanks for letting me talk about it.
Yeah. Thank you for coming and sharing it with us. James Zoghbi, the president of the Arab American Institute, AAIUSA.org is the website. And James, a long way to go in Arab American relations.
We'll talk about that sometime.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah,
we really should because this is, you know, Bush has his use of the word crusade early on was not, I don't think, accidental. And long way to go there.
Long way. Thank
Anyhow,
you.
Anyhow, James Zoghbi, you are always welcome on our show.
Thank you very much.
Great to have you here with us. Thank you. AAIUSA.org. Check it out. It is 45 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. And stick around. We'll be right back with the former Prime Minister of Ireland and the ambassador from the European Union.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
Carl Wolfson and friends.
Let's get to Joe the Plumber. He's covering the war in Israel.
6 to 9.
You're not going to believe what he said.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think journalists should be anywhere allowed war. And if you're going to sit there and say, well, look at this atrocity, well, you don't know the full story behind it half the time.
Yeah, you know, we should just take what the Pentagon says. No atrocities. You know, that's just war.
It's Carl Wolfson.
I think he's one of those people that had his 5 minutes of fame and now thinks he's really smart.
I kind of lean that he's an idiot.
Morning, 6 to 9.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Portland's only progressive talk station.
I'm Tom Dwyer, 230-2300. I thought that Oregon got all its electricity from hydroelectric. Well, about 60% of our electricity is hydro, but the rest comes from dirty coal plants like those in nearby Boardman and Centralia. The Boardman plant, 150 miles east of Portland, generates 20% of PGE's power. It's the largest stationary source of greenhouse gases in Oregon, contributing to acid rain in the Gorge and on Mount Hood, and impacting us from Hell's Canyon to Mount Rainier. Please help me support the Bonneville Environmental Foundation in funding green power here and now with the Tom Dwyer Automotive Services Carbon Neutral Program. Use the link at tomdwyer.com, enter the promo code KPOJ, get a 50% discount, and join. Your car will be carbon neutral, you'll receive 10% off labor, and other offers that will save you over $350. If you're a current client or wanted to try us, then please check this out. I'm counting on you to help build the wind and solar power we need in Oregon today. I don't want to burn coal to power my house or my next car. Keeping our vehicles operating at their best. Tom Dwyer Automotive Services, 230-2300. And please visit tomdwyer.com.
What the?
Ow! Hi, I'm your local Geico agent.
What are you doing inside my piano?
Playing Mozart.
What?
No, actually, I'm here to help you save money on your car insurance. Because I'm located right here in town, I'm always close by, so if you ever need help saving money, I'm never far away.
That's pretty close.
Yeah, that way you get Geico's same low rates, but with the personal service of a local agent. Ooh, by the way, do you know what you get when you drop a piano down a mine shaft?
Now what?
A flat minor. Get it? A flat minor?
Stop talking now.
If you ever need help saving money on car insurance, have questions about your policy, or just want a free rate quote, your local Geico agent is always close by.
Your local Geico office can help you insure more than just your car. They can help you with motorcycle, boat, homeowners, renters, and other insurance products. For a free rate quote, call 503-794-0901. That's 503-794-0901. Or visit your local Geico office at 13031 Southeast 84th Avenue in Clackamas.
Hey, Carl Wolfson from The Morning Show. January is National Eye Care Month, a time when many of us use our new health insurance plans to get our eyes checked. Sadly, millions of people around the world don't have this luxury. This month, stop by Eyes on Broadway and donate your old glasses, which will be redistributed when Dr. Tom Barreto travels to Peru this March to perform eye exams for those less fortunate. A great way to start out the new year. Donate your old glasses at 2300 Northeast Broadway or learn more at eyesonbroadway.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I was waiting to vote down at City Hall, watching gas go up and the stock market fall, when he asked me, "You waiting on Obama?" I said, "I guess, how about you?" And he said, "Son, ever since George W., I've been waiting on Obama." When McCain picked her as his running mate, I thought for sure that they'd be great, till she spent $100,000 just on clothing. And the last 8 years have been so long, seems like everything's gone wrong. But as far as Republicans go, she's sure a hottie. Have we lost our mind?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, waiting for Obama. Welcome back. I am sitting across from a commander of the Order of the Polar Star. Do I have that correct?
You got it.
Ambassador John Bruton, the head of delegation, essentially the ambassador to the United States from the European Union.
That's right.
And the former Prime Minister of Ireland. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
To our program. Very, very pleased to have you with us. And I'm wondering what... Personally, as you're here and you're seeing this, and you know you're wired into the Washington community as the ambassador from the EU, what's your personal take on today is, and then I want to get into the European take on this.
apart from the economic situation, the biggest worry facing us in Europe and facing the world is the conflict between the Muslim world and the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. We see that in Palestine, the conflict with Israel, and also in regard to Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan.
Yeah.
I think the fact that the American people have freely, of their own accord, elected somebody called Barack Hussein Obama, whose grandfather and grandmother are Muslims from Kenya, himself a Christian, but has partly an African-American and partly a Muslim ancestry. That shows an openness on the part of the United States that gives us an opportunity to set a new era in relations between the broadly described Judeo-Christian world, which includes the United States, all of the Americas and Europe, between us and the other civilizations. We need to turn a new page in that relationship.
You know, that's a really important observation. I lived in Germany for a year, and Germany has this historic problem with the Turkish guest workers, or the Gastarbeiters, as the word used there, whether or not they should be, in some cases, third-generation Gastarbeiters, whether they should be allowed citizenship. I mean, there's this huge debate that happened back in the 80s when I was living there. And France has been dealing with this with Algerians. A variety of Spain with North Africans. I can't think of a European country where what just happened here could have happened. Or am I being too harsh on the European worldview? Because it seems that, let me explain why. And then, America is a country that was not founded on DNA. America is a country that was founded on an idea. And it seems that most European countries, people say, well, these are my people. These are my ancestors, ancestors, ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And although we were founded largely by Protestant, British, white Europeans, nonetheless, we've gone through a whole series of changes of who we are. Doesn't seem that that's happened so much in most European countries.
Well, you've been dealing with this problem. I mean, the first African-American slaves came here in the 17th century.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after that number of centuries, are electing one of that broad community as your president. We in Europe have only had significant minority migrant populations from outside Europe in our midst for the last 50 years. So you're talking about much shorter time frames. Mm-hmm. And in Europe, we already have the third most important minister in France is a Franco-Algerian woman, Rachida Dati.
Mm-hmm.
The leader of the Green Party in Germany is a young man who is of Turkish-German ancestry. And in the British government, the current British government, there are a number of people of Caribbean ancestry and indeed of Indian Indo-British ancestry, so to speak, serving in government. In Ireland, for example, not too long ago, we elected an Indian, a man of 100% Indian ancestry, as one of the members of Parliament for the County of Clare, which is where Shannon Airport is located.
Right.
So, I mean, Europeans are open to change too. Obviously, we have a lot to learn from Americans, but I think we are open to change. We do, however, want to make sure that we don't import into Europe some of the problems, the conflicts that we now see, for example, in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
So we are very keen to see a new approach taken to conflict resolution, and we're very hopeful that the election of President Obama, and indeed what he said during the campaign about being willing to talk without preconditions to people, is going to be a sign of a better future.
Yes. Thank you for enlightening me about the contemporary European situation. In the minute we have left, your thoughts on how Europe is viewing this transition that's happening tomorrow.
Europe is really very excited about this. We see this as a big opportunity for change. We intend to work as a partner with the United States. But there's no part of the world that I ought to believe is more excited about this than Africa. Africa is the one part of the world that has seen a major decline in its living standards over the last 30 or 40 years. I know when John Kennedy was elected president, what that did to the people of Ireland, the optimism that it gave them about what they could do at home now that an Irishman had done it in the United States.
Yeah.
There must be tremendous potential in Africa for a similar upsurge in optimism among Africans about what they can do, given that one of their own has been so successful in this democracy here.
Well, and hopefully it'll lead to more democratic transitions and you know, more positive change. Well said. Thank you very much. Ambassador John Bruton, who is the head of delegation of the European Union, the EU ambassador to the United States. Sir, thank you for dropping
by. Thank you very much indeed.
It's an honor to be here with you. We'll be back tomorrow. And we'll be carrying Barack Obama's inauguration and his inaugural speech live. And Ron Reagan and I will be anchoring the coverage. I'll be walking back and being catching up with you here after the inaugural ceremonies. So it should be a wonderful day tomorrow. And don't forget, my friends, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmanRadio.com.